Hi, this is Kate Daly. And you know, I've been talking about this a lot on the show lately, but we need to make our homes a real place of refuge. And I can't imagine a better way of doing that other than adding a hot tub or jacuzzi in the backyard, a place to relax, a place to kind of contemplate, think, and get all of the desired benefits from using a hot tub. It's an amazing hot tub. It's a Bullfrog. Bullfrog stands on its own with its own reputation of being long-lasting and one of the most amazing jacuzzis on the market. In fact, right now they have a free audio system on selected models worth $500. You can have a staycation in your own backyard, not to mention the hydrotherapy jets that are totally amazing, each one of them different, and you can actually customize them. Get one of your own. With over 40 years of experience, Tropical Fiberglass Pools and Spas is the leader in hydropool swim spas, Bullfrog spas, the jet packs that are interchangeable behind every seat, the Passion Swim Spas, the American Swim Spas. It's the way to go. Get a hold of Tropical Fiberglass Pools and Spas and get yours ordered right away. Or call 688-8797, but get yours ordered right now.
We can at least be entertaining. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that also quashed the story. And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail. And now it's all coming out. And it's like these new revelations. And I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like every day I get more and more pissed because I'm just like, oh my God, what we had was unreal. Other women backing it up. Hey, yep. Brad Edwards, the attorney 3 years ago saying there will come a day when we will realize Jeffrey Epstein was the most prolific pedophile this country has ever known. And I had it all 3 years ago.
That was Amy Roebuck. I guess captured on mic. and maybe some intermission-y type of situation on a show. Anyway, very interesting information. I'm going to bring some stuff to light today. And it's going to be a little uncomfortable, too. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to use this hour to do it of the show, but it'll be on podcast, so I hope you share it. So welcome. And of course, Chris Ann is in our area today and tomorrow, and I'm so happy about this. I hope that all of you will go and see her. If you missed this morning, go ahead and go tonight. That is, I think, at the, it's in Washington. It's actually up on the Kate Daly Show Facebook page. It is there. She is speaking at the dance hall in Washington and 7 o'clock tonight, I think, and the kickoff to the parade. And then the fair. And then tomorrow it's 10 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. So make sure you have a front row seat to that. You're not going to want to miss that. And bring your kids, bring your families, bring people that, I mean, our youth really need to hear what she has to say. Chris Ann Hall is our constitutional expert and attorney, and she's great and fantastic. You can't get better. And she honestly delivers such a great class that your kids, you'll all walk away being better for it, for sure. Okay, so I want to bring some things up and some concerns I have. And it's not to pick on any organization or anything. I'm just, I don't know why. You know me, I got to go with my gut. And my gut says be a little concerned about some things. And so I'm going to bring those up for you. First, I want to play a tape of John Paul Rice. And, you know, many people sent this to me, but it was interesting. I'm going to take just a snippet of this. He actually made a movie. He's actually been a producer for quite some time in Hollywood, but he made a movie, a feature film, not a documentary, about child trafficking. And then I want to play this, and he brings up some great valid points. And then I want to launch into some information about how we're going about getting these people, because there's some concerns there. And I hope I do this justice. Anyway, I have a lot of information to go through. So this is going to be kind of a heavy hour, but I hope you're up for it. This is John Paul Rice, producer in Hollywood, goes all the way back to Remember the Titans, about 20 years. And this is him speaking on Facebook. Here you go.
My name is John Paul Rice, for independent film producer. I've been in Hollywood for about 20 years. I started my film career in Remember the Titans, worked at Senator International, later Mandate Pictures, under the producers who did Juno, The Grudge, Harold and Kumar, Stranger Than Fiction, and eventually The Hunger Games when they went back into Lionsgate. The reason I wanted to talk to everybody here today is because over the last week or two, we have found out without notification that Amazon.com, for which we have six of our movies on there, our film, A Child's Voice, which has been on there for over a year and a half in the UK, the United States, and now 70 other countries, was suddenly, without notification, removed entirely from their platform. They unpublished it, and they made it not searchable in most of the sites. The only way that you can get it is through a direct link, and we discovered this because the director's daughter had sent the links out to several of her friends when the Wayfair scandal broke, as well as the Maxwell files being released in the last 48 hours. And Amazon came back to us. They gave us a very standard corporate non-committal response that said, we make a lot of changes. We do this and that and the other. We judge things based on performance. But they couldn't give us a very specific answer. And we all know what the answer is. What our movie did before Epstein was known about in the public and before Maxwell was known about in the public is we found a network of pedophiles among a global network of people who were selling kids back and forth to each other, trading them like candy. It goes right in through Hollywood. If you look at the Daily Beast article, you'll see that Jeffrey Epstein had a pipeline right into Hollywood through Harvey Weinstein. That was last year. I've done a lot of deep dives and research into this, and there is a very satanic element to it for which we incorporated it into our movie. Our movie is a feature film. It deals with two teens, one who's a homeless heroin addicted teen, hears the voice of a child who had been killed at the beginning of the movie, calls out for his help, and he goes on a mission to rescue a girl from these human traffickers. They come together, and then they stand up to this network in a spirit of love and courage for all of these children. It's a very beautiful film. It's been well reviewed, well received. So when we had all of this come up, we went viral with it on Twitter the other day, and it exploded because we still have one platform left here in the United States, and that's Vimeo.com on demand. What I would like everybody to do is, more importantly, I don't need to get back on Amazon. I already know what they're going to do, and they've got a stack of lawyers, but we're looking for alternative platforms where we can release this movie and get it out to as many people as possible. Our movie is not a documentary, it's a feature film. And we did this based on all the evidence and the facts that we had learned and incorporated into a story that you get involved through the character's journey. Their road to redemption is through love. And this issue of human trafficking, which many people are waking up to today for a variety of reasons, is the issue that defines all of us in our time. The media corporations, the most powerful six corporations in the land, in the world for that matter, are all implicated in human trafficking of kids. And I would point to anybody who wants to know more about that to look at Project Veritas and the leak disclosure of off-air footage of Amy Robach from ABC News when she found out and was discussing in 2016 that they had everything from Virginia Guffrey, all of it. Everybody who was involved, they had all the evidence. Their own lawyer said that when all is said and done, Jeffrey Epstein will go down as one of the most prolific pedophiles in all of history, and they buried that story to have access to the royal family, for which we now know Prince Andrew was implicated. They did not have any remorse for the victims in that video. This is a bigger problem because most people know in that world and the world that I come from in Hollywood that it is a hidden layer that everybody knows is there. When the Me Too movement started in 2017, I reached out to several of my female actress friends who were prominent in LA. You would know them by name. Many of them you would know by just their look because you go, oh, that was her in that movie or that movie. And I said, well, what about the children? What about the children? And they, and the response was, we know, but they were silent on it. And it destroyed me because it destroyed my illusion of what rights, human rights were, children's rights were. This is a child abuse system that we have been living in for a very long time, and it's been allowed to go on. And I will not be silent about this because it affects every single one of us. The people on television who smile at you, who tell you stories, who give you news, are the ones who hide all of this from us. They are not talking about the real issues. They are distracting you with division issues. This is a unification issue. When the Maxwell files came out 48 hours ago, I went on MSNBC, I went on CNN.com, and I looked at every single one of their headlines, and there was no mention of it whatsoever. They were talking about John Lewis's funeral. They were talking about Obama versus Trump. And it doesn't matter what side of the political equation you're on this. This is a child issue. This is a human issue. This is not a political issue. It has nothing to do with left versus right, Democrat versus Republican, liberal versus conservative, or anything you are or you identify with as in between. We are faced with a crisis of consciousness among the leadership of our banking institutions, of our media corporations, of the Hollywood entertainment industry, of the music industry. This is not about a bunch of young women who were having sex with older men and make it about a bunch of perverts. They raped and tortured these girls against their own free will. No matter whether they paid them or not, if you read the articles and you listen to what Ghislaine Maxwell said about the girls that she picked up in West Palm Beach's trailer parks, she was asked, what about the young girls? What are we going to do to them? What's going to happen to them? She said, they are trash. They are nothing. That's a direct quote from The New Yorker.
Wow. I'm going to come back on that. He makes a couple more good points about the people involved and how they're involved. But what was, I think the thing that's bothering me, there's all this sudden attention on it, okay? And we just got through this, we're still going through this whole COVID, what do you want to call it, delusion, that it's killing everybody. And all of a sudden attention is turned toward child trafficking. And so, you know, I was kind of looking at why. Why is that? I was looking on a blog, and this total leftist wrote on the blog, he said, by the way, that was John Paul Rice. He's a producer in Hollywood that came out with a film called A Child's Voice. I should have said that right after the video. But this guy was saying, on the left, their delusion is Hillary's still president. Hillary's president, even though Trump is, Hillary still is. She got it. And COVID is killing everybody. But on the right, that Trump is going after child traffickers. And a lot of people are hanging their hat on that idea. Well, what's the proof in the pudding? Okay, well, let's talk about that when we come back. I wanna show you some things when we come right back. So don't go anywhere. This will get interesting. 888-673-1450. I don't know if I'll have time for calls, but I got a lot to go through. But I think you're going to find this extremely interesting, by the way. Be right back.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. I'm going to get on this quick because I have a lot of stuff. Welcome back to the show. Make sure you go over to Tropical Pool and Spa. Get a spa. I'm not kidding. It is the best therapy on earth. Every night I've been mine, and I'm telling you, it is. There's something really special about it. It's pretty amazing. Right now they have $500 off on selected spas that you can get. Bullfrog is just such an amazing one because the back jet packs come out and you can interchange them with other seats. I mean, you can actually design the spa jets the way you want to. It is really that amazing. I'm serious. My husband and I have different favorites, you know, neck ones and back ones, shiatsu ones that are amazing. But right now would be a great time to turn your home into someplace you really want to be because you're going to be there a lot. Let me just say that. Actually, give Tropical a call, 688-8797. Tell them we sent you. 688-8797. And truly, the very, very best. And they're the best in customer service, delivery, everything. They're just great. And they're just right there. But they have Bullfrog, Hydro Pools, everything. Really, really cool spa. Anyway, highly recommend. Let's jump into this. So I was looking at a blog, and this guy who bought in that COVID people were dying every day, and that Hillary should be our president, and all of this was kind of capping on conservatives for thinking that Trump was going after child predators. Well, if you look at some of the numbers stacked up, it's kind of interesting. 400 arrests by the from the FBI numbers in 2014 for child trafficking, 1,500 in 1 year in 2017. That's quite a big difference, but Trump doesn't really get this administration isn't getting credit for that. And when Obama went in, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, but the NGOs for rescuing kids, it's kind of interesting how that increased, but the numbers of kids trafficked went through the roof. Because now they're saying, you know, they're saying millions and millions and millions and millions of kids are at risk now and trafficked, over 5.5 million. But at the time, back in 2003, when the CIA started Operation Predator, it was the UN was saying about 2 million worldwide. So the numbers increased a ton. But this was started back about 20 years ago, and an act went through for child trafficking, and Operation Predator started. And this went through the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. In fact, I'll bet you that's what Tim Ballard worked was this, because it was a division of Homeland Security, and that would have been the decade he would have been in it as well. And it was to protect kids from sexual predators. And so as of January 2007, they had over 9,300 arrests under Operation Predator. And 85% of them were foreign national sex offenders whose crimes actually removed them from the United States. That's kind of interesting. 85% were foreign nationals. Strange. Anyway, this also what also came out of this was the National Child Victim Identification System, and that was a massive interagency system run by Operation Predator, in conjunction with the FBI, the U.S. Postal Inspection Service, the U.S. Secret Service, the Justice Department, and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Kids. And this system was where they could all join forces and get together on all their information. Well, that sounds like that could certainly do the trick, right? And President Bush came out with the Protect Act, and that made it illegal for Americans to travel abroad in order to have sex with a minor. So if all these things came into fruition, then what went wrong? Because it sounds like they had this National Child Victim Identification System set up and things like that. Why did the numbers go through the roof? And I think that's where it gets a little bit more interesting. Now, I'm going to actually tell you at the beginning what one of my concerns is instead of waiting to the end. One of my concerns is that we're not going after the heads of the organizations. We're going after the people that want the kids. And I can understand why that's a problem too. We want to save the kids. And I get that. Child trafficking is a big deal. I've been talking about it for 4.5 years. But on the other hand, are we ever going to go after those that are in charge, those that are truly, truly in charge? Now, on that tape that I played at the beginning, he was talking about Wall Street. He was talking about politicians. He was talking about, the NGOs, these organizations that say they're for rescuing kids, but are they really for trafficking kids? And as those increased, and Hollywood. And so when I'm not hearing a lot of talk about that, I get a little worried, because you know that a lot of these rings come from very, you know, powerful places. And this is obviously a huge, huge issue right now. So, and there's a lot of groups, I think, that can do good work. And so I'm not disparaging any groups or anything. I'm just saying that, yes, attention needs to be brought to this. Why all of a sudden attention, though? It is kind of strange. A lot of people are mentioning this right now. Maybe because people are interested in this, they've kind of turned to this. In fact, when I was looking at that blog, this leftist wrote, oh, they're all hanging their hopes. Those conservatives are hanging their hopes that Trump is silently going to punish all the sex traffickers in the world. And he's going to go after all these deep state people, and that way they don't have to deal with COVID. It was like, okay. Now, there is some semblance of truth to that. There's a lot of people that have hung their hat on the fact that after, you know, it's been 4 years and we haven't had major arrests of the major ringleaders that we probably know exist, but more maybe the lower level, right? The arrests on the lower level, those trying to purchase or whatnot. And I'm not disparaging those arrests because those arrests need to happen too. But are we really going after it? So, you know, what's funny is on the left, I can say, well, Hillary is definitely not president. And B, people are really not dying around us because I can look at the numbers and prove it. Now, on the right, what they call our delusion of, oh, Trump's going to save the world, right? That's our delusion. But the issue is, does anyone really know? I mean, does anyone really know what's going on behind the scenes? So I always have to give pause to that and say, well, I don't know if we know. I don't know if we know, because we don't know. So I can't prove yes or no on that. And I don't know why we would have waited for 4 years to go after if we have everything on people, or if Trump has everything on the suspected people that are always coming up in the news. But there's a lot of people out there saying that he certainly does. So there you go. There's two sides to that conversation. And that's a conversation we actually need to have on the show, because there are some very curious things that have happened in the last 4 years that I don't see really happening under another president. So we do need to talk about that. But I want to get back to this because this is really kind of interesting. Back when I can even take you to OUR, since a lot of us are familiar with OUR. OUR started in 2013. Tim Ballard said he left the CIA. I don't know if anyone ever leaves the CIA, but he left the CIA, took some people with him, took his boss with him, and started working as a nonprofit because he wanted to be able to go after cases that weren't just U.S. citizens. Okay. And so he took Elizabeth Smart down to a police station and they actually offered up training on this new sort of data mining platform that was new. And they said the technology acts like a sniffer and it deploys against networks that child traffickers and pedophiles use to communicate with each other. So it takes all this information from where your computer goes through the ISPs and through its data mining protocols, and they could get the most egregious offenders. So this is the police departments were saying, oh, okay, this is kind of interesting. We'll look at this. It's called CPS. It's an open source, and it was actually developed by the Child Rescue Coalition. It wasn't actually developed by OUR, but they were using it and talking about it as the new software that they were going to run OUR on. Well, the technology, actually, Ballard said this. He said the technology here that allowed us to make the case, from what I've seen, it's a very effective tool in law enforcement. And as a result of using it, we made a good arrest. That was the police chief talking to Ballard. And so so that meeting sort of springboarded OUR. And I remember having him on the show for this clear back then. And so they talked about him being a CIA, former CIA. Well, I honestly don't think anyone ever leaves the CIA, but there's a lot of individuals in the military and CIA that work in OUR. Well, the curious thing about that was I was looking at CPS software, and CPS software, they said in a lot of articles, was developed by a company called TLO, and it automated the law enforcement process for persons sharing child pornography from peer-to-peer networks. The software gathered only public information made available by the user sharing files over a network, including the computer's IP address. And so when I looked at this child rescue operation that said that they had developed it, it wasn't actually them, which was kind of strange too. It was her father, this woman that owned the child rescue operation that had started a year before, or about the same time, probably beginning of the year of 2013. It was kind of interesting, or actually in the spring of 2013, it was her father, who was known as the father of data fusion, and his name was Hank Asher. Well, Hank Asher, I don't know if you remember this name, but the Tom Cruise movie where Tom Cruise is taking, you know, drug running the airplanes into Arkansas from Colombia for all the drug running that the CIA wanted to do. Well, he was actually one of those pilots. And so the feeling that I got from reading his bio was that he sort of turned into an informant, maybe so he didn't go to prison. I don't know. But anyway, they kind of owned him. The CIA kind of owned him. And he did some projects and worked on some really big data mining things for the CIA and for the government. So he was the one that actually did it. He was known as the father of data fusion. His name's Hank Asher. So what's interesting about Hank Asher was he actually just fell dead in January in his bed, you know, just died. No cancer, no nothing, just died in his 60s. Or I think he was around 60 years old. He just suddenly died, and they weren't coming out with a cause of death. And he died in January, and then all these organizations got started in that same year, that year and the next year. So 2013 and 2014, you saw a huge amount of new companies using this Child Rescue Coalition, you know, software. She got it because it was her dad's. And so they were giving this to law enforcement free of charge to track and arrest and prosecute all these child predators. And so so they call it CPS technology. It's a digital tool, and you can use it in all the states and 84 countries around the world to track. I don't have a problem with getting the bad guy, just so you know. I do have some privacy concerns in how they're going about it, because no one will really disclose the software they're using on how it's done truly, but there have been a couple of interesting court cases, which I can talk about when we come back, and what they decided about it. I'm all for, and you guys know, this is kind of like on the same plane as people that abort their babies. This is a tough subject for me. It's hard to talk about because I can't stand abuse and I can't stand this kind of stuff. And so I want to see the bad guys go down, and I'll support anyone in it that is in it for that fight. That's great. And I think more power to them. The one thing I don't want to have happen is us to get lulled into the constant, the privacy concerns of what we're saying yes to on getting the bad guy can mean that it can be turned on us, the good guy. And I do worry about that. So I will bring that up. And the second thing is the fact that, are we going after all the right people? I want to make sure we're going after all the right people, because we can get kind of lulled into a sense of complacency as we keep going after the low-level guy. But honestly, it's never going to stop if you don't go after the big guns, too. So that is a huge concern. I have a lot more when I come back. But that CPS technology, it's crazy. It all popped up, right? 2013, 2014, kind of interesting. And I want to share with you a couple other things on that as well when I come back. Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Trying to hit a lot of information. I know I'm... Anyway, it's going to be quick. Get through this. But welcome back to the show. Christopher Fulton, the guy that spent almost a decade of his life in prison because he wouldn't give up the JFK Oval Office tapes that he had in his possession. He'll be on the show Friday. I just thought I'd let you know. Yeah, he's a fantastic guest. And he wrote the book, The Inheritance. One of the best books. It's really, really good. Summer reading, got to read The Inheritance by Christopher Fulton. Okay, so I want to go back to this because And like I said, I want to make sure you realize that I want to get the bad guys and I want to get these kids out of this situation more than anything. I just have a couple of concerns and they keep gnawing at me. So I just wanted to share these with you like I always do. I'll share with you some of my research because I feel like it's important to do it like this. I just want to make sure we're looking at everything and aware of everything. See, Senator Hatch, when he was in, he actually put forth, I think it was the Amy Vickie Act. It was some act like that. And it was all about child pornography, but you could they could find an image on your computer that somebody could actually plant and you would get a $250,000 fine and jail time if it went all the way through the court system. And there were some glaring problems with that act. And I remember thinking at the time, yeah, you know, for all the stuff we're doing it with technology and AI seems to be very present in this way we're going after child traffickers, can it be used against us? Kind of like the emergency system was used during COVID to track us going in and out of state. Who knew that would happen, right? Who knew that they would take that system that everybody was like, go, yeah, that's perfect. And then of course it turned on us because we realized that, man, they can really track you using that emergency system. So with that being said, this all went to court several times over. And basically what they came back with was it didn't violate the Fourth Amendment. It got into your computer, yes, and it could retrieve these publicly shared files, but they likened it to your house being unlocked and a police can just kind of secretly slip in without being invited. They kind of looked at it like that. Now, I would still consider that a breach of privacy if somebody just walked in my door. But they looked at it like, well, you don't have it shut down, so your computer is just open and sharing all the time, and we can grab whatever we want from it. There is no real privacy when it comes to that. And I do foresee some problems in the future with maybe the AI and how it kind of spins out of control. You can have really good people behind this movement. And that's one thing I do want to say. There are some people that are driven for the right reasons. You'll have white hats and black hats, and you'll also have these people, like I said, black hats that are opportunists too. And so we have to be very careful about individuals like that as well, because sometimes I think that during Obama's administration, after the Senate report done by Rob Portman, Senator Portman, it came out that they were actually putting kids into the hands of traffickers in his administration. And the numbers went through the roof. The NGOs, the non-governmental agencies, what a joke, right? Governmental agencies, let's just call them that, went through the roof too. But because, you know, it might have been under the guise of rescuing kids when it wasn't. And so as many organizations that can crop up that are good, I think there are going to be some abroad that aren't so good. And I think you have to be really careful when giving money to these groups or helping groups, because you really need to vet them. These ones abroad, especially the ones that you can't get to know up close and personal. So a lot of different things came out in the last, since 2013 and 14, since that software was made available by the guy that just mysteriously died, Hank Asher, who worked for the CIA and the government. And he had a long career of doing that, by the way, too, and making a lot of money along the way for different projects. But a lot of different things came through. Traffic Jam was a cluster of new tech tools and AI to bring against the fight of sex trafficking. And, of course, they said that they needed the AI. They said it was no magic solution, but they could see how the AI could adapt and help them to get into these computers to do this. So then you had celebrities like Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher go to the government's DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And I always kind of raise an eyebrow to DARPA because they're behind a lot of weird, weird stuff that they're doing that's like 30 years ahead, 40 years ahead, which is cause for concern. But our government tax dollars pay for their projects too. But there was major corporations like IBM. These machine learning tools were working the crime, they said, from every angle, finding victims, following money trails, confronting Johns along the way. And they said the AI never takes a coffee break. That was in all the articles, right? And they said this could just speed it up. Instead of taking an investigation, which could take months and years, they assumed that they were going to get to all of it and they could do it a lot quicker with the AI involved in this new technology. And they said the technology had arrived in time to help investigators navigate a newly chaotic underworld. And this underworld that seemed to just keep growing after all these acts were passed and all of the identification system, which was international. Just interesting how it all went through the roof, right? In a time when you would have thought that we were taking all the measures to stymie it. Anyway, questions to be asked, I tell you. So they basically said at the time back in 2013, they had gone through, 54 million computers, and that was clear back almost a decade ago. I mean, my gosh, can you imagine what it is today? So they were finding a lot of these issues and problems online. They had an investigation tool called Spotlight, too. And Kuchar and Moore launched their sex trafficking tool in 2014, again, same year. And it was used by more than 8,000 law enforcement officers. So they must all be using different ones, right? That same year, DARPA launched a $70 million effort dubbed Memex that funded 17 different partners to develop other search and analytic tools to help fight human trafficking. Because as these things were going through the courts and the federal courts kept saying no breach of privacy, it's like they just kept exploding with the AI and the data mining. Maybe that's what I'm sensing is kind of a big problem here, because can it be used on good people too? Yeah, it can. And I worry about that. So they said DARPA would send folks up to literally sit next to our analysts and watch as they went step by step through this investigation, and they use the software tool and they would adjust the tool. And, they also use something called Telfinder. So there's all kinds of different names to them. I won't go into so many details with the names and so forth. But one of the problems arose when, in 2012, this man kidnapped a 28-year-old woman who had advertised sex online, and he took her wallet and phone and raped her and forced her to prostitute for him. Well, she survived by jumping out of a window and breaking almost every bone in her body. And by the time of the trial, the woman had made this miraculous recovery, and she told the jury she never engaged in prostitution. But the defense then showed up with recent sex ads that made it appear that she had willingly gone back to her life. And the ads would not only kind of undermine her credibility as a witness, but they also offered the exculpatory evidence for the defense's argument that she'd only jumped out of the window because she was emotionally unstable and drug abuser. Well, back at the DA's office, they used their AI system. And this was clear back 6 years ago. And he said, we knew right away that they were being, these ads were being posted in places where the woman wasn't even located. So these images were being shared without her knowledge. And so then, of course, at the last minute, it went in favor of her, and the defense won. And so I just wanted to demonstrate that because it can kind of show you how, somebody could show your picture somewhere, or there's just so many things that can happen. Can this software help that? Okay, they were able to, on that particular case, to be able to come out in favor of the girl. I worry about future cases. I worry about where it goes and how much they're able to get into everybody's computer. I really do worry about that. Not that they can't already with all the stuff that NSA is doing. It's very busy these days. But when we say tools are okay, when we're like, oh yeah, just get the bad guy. I think we should worry about what it does to us at the same time. Like I said in the very beginning of this hour, under Obama, it became, U.S. became world's number one for sex trafficking and pedophilia. There was actually a Senate inquiry. They actually did a whole investigation, and it was kind of a bombshell that the media never talked about. But the Office of Refugee Resettlement, the agency of Department of Health and Human Services, refused to do background checks of adults who took children that were in the custody of the government, and allowed criminals and pedophiles to take custody of vulnerable minors. And so there was a huge, huge thing going on. And, you know, Rob Portman did a good job and published a 6-month investigation. 125,000 minors that had crossed the U.S. border since 2011, and they were just handed over to people. And so we did see a huge surge in that, a huge, huge problem. And I wanted to bring that up because a lot of people won't talk about it. The media will never talk about it. Obama is their holy grail, and they won't talk about how he actually enhanced child trafficking and did not put a stop to it. So we've had more arrests with Trump in, actually, but the media won't report it. So that's interesting to note. I still don't know, though, if the big guys are going, or if we're actually going to get the big guys, if we're actually going to go after the real perpetrators in this, the ones with all the power behind the rings. And that's what worries me. There's a lot of talk about getting the low-level bad guy, not the higher up. And I don't hear a lot of groups talking about going after the elite. I hear, you know, like this producer, the clip that I played in the beginning. Yes. I mean, he was talking about the elite, naming the elite, and also Wall Street and everybody else, Hollywood, everybody else that's in this, as we know. But I'm not hearing that from a lot of groups. So that kind of concerned me, too. The other thing is where is the deep state going with children? And one of the areas that they would like to go into is to have children have rights like adults. There was a lot of talk and chatter. We did the show a couple of years ago where we talked about how the UN really wanted to give kids rights and also wanted to give them a government guardian. Can you believe? A government guardian that would make sure that the parents were doing their job, you know, kind of thing. And it was horrifying to learn where they wanted to go, because a lot of people will hear the UN and they'll say, oh, well, they just want children to be safe. Not so much. It's very, very interesting. One of the criteria that they want for children is that children can choose their own thoughts, opinions, and religion, but this should not stop other people from enjoying their rights. Parents can guide children so when they grow up, they learn to use the right properly. That's kind of scary. Who's going to make sure they're using it properly? That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of vagueness about where the direction that they want to go in with kids. And when you start to give a 4-year-old rights, does that mean that it is more prey for traffickers in a way, because then the parents cannot go in and maybe do things for these children, because children then have rights? They're very, very strange when it comes to what they want at the end of this road. Agenda 2030 has some really weird language in how they view how kids should turn out and how they would like to control that. So that worries me too, because sometimes it's really hard to see the end game in all this. And I don't want to get to a day where parents are, right now in the public school system, parents don't mean a thing. And they really don't. I think parents think they have this huge voice, but once your kid is on their property, you don't have a lot of say anymore at all. And I don't think that's registered for a lot of parents yet. And so when I'm saying take kids out of this public school system, that's the number one place where your parental rights are really being abused. You have to take background check now to even go on a field trip with them, or even to, you know, pretty much get into the school these days. And with COVID, they can do what they want with these kids with a fever and so forth. They can come to your home and COVID trace everyone in your family. So you're losing some rights there, a lot of rights, majority of your parental rights. And we better start getting that memo. But I always look at what is the big picture for the UN? Where are they going with these things that sound all nice and cheery, but they're actually not in favor of family? And so I worry about that, because the more kids they want to absorb into the government system, well, look what happened under Obama. That worries me. That worries me. I wanted to bring all this up to you, and I'm not disparaging anybody out there. I think some people are doing some great work in child trafficking, and I know Tim Ballard just came here and spoke. The only reason I wanted to bring it up was I wanted to bring up my concerns to you and to kind of tell you a little bit about some of the research, there are some things that are kind of strange. A lot of this cropped up in 2013, 2014. But I just want to make sure that they're also going after some of these big guns. The guy that died that did the software, that was a little weird too, by the way. Nobody ever came out, I don't think, on his cause of death. Anyway, very strange, but he was the father of this technology they're using now. Just keep an eye on it. That's all. Just concerns, you know, little concerns that hit me and thought I'd share them with you. I'll be right back with Melissa and then on to Susan. I'll be right back. Kate Daly Show.